Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeff White with Jeff White Fitness Solutions. I'm a certified personal trainer and motivational speaker. I'd like to welcome you to my radio show. Now, the purpose of my show is to promote not only physical fitness, but mental and spiritual fitness as well. In order to survive in this world, it's important to be mentally strong. And I believe being spiritually, mentally, and physically tough go hand in hand. Now, some of you may remember this show from about a year ago, but I put it on the back burner because a lot has changed for me in the last year. I was offered an opportunity to host a daily show on KYOO 99.1 FM in Bolivar, Missouri, and it's called Fit Minute. It's a daily show where I give 2 minutes of fitness tips and motivational messages every day. Now, that show comes on at 7:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check it out if you can. And I wrote a book last year, and it's titled The Three Pillars of Strength, Increasing Your Physical, Mental, and Spiritual Fitness. Now, that book is available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and the audio version. So I've been pretty busy. Now, since I started working at KYOO, I've had several people ask me to do certain topics on Fit Minute. But unfortunately, I couldn't do it because I only had 2 minutes and there's only certain things I can talk about on that show. But, you know, as I thought about it, I remembered I still had this show and I can talk a bit more freely here on Blog Talk Radio. So we are back and we are better. So I revamped this show a bit. And the theme will be making a difference. And I will invite a variety of interesting people to come on and talk about how they make a good difference in society. And it's going to be based on the basic premise of the show, which is helping a person be their best, physically, mentally, or spiritually. Now, my show will come on twice a month, and I'm just really busy like everyone else out there listening. But if you're looking for a type of show like this on a more consistent basis, I want you to check out two of my friends from Illinois State University. And his name is Obese Giles and his co-host Darren Davis. And they have a show called Obese's Corner that comes on every Tuesday and Thursday on Ustream. So if you're looking for some positive and motivational type shows in addition to this one, check out Lovisa's Corner. You can Google them. That's L-O-V-I-S-E-S, Lovisa's Corner. You know, I think there's too much negativity out here in the world, and we don't have enough positive images and conversations in the media for people to gravitate to and get inspiration from. So I'm just trying to do my part here with my Blog Talk Radio show, and so is my friend Giles and Darren Davis. But let's get back to tonight. Tonight, I want to introduce some pretty amazing people, and they're here to help us all physically and mentally as well. And they're going to talk about something near and dear to my heart, which is triathlon. Now, you know me, and you know I've been doing triathlon for 20 years, and I can honestly say triathlon has changed my life for the better. I mean, if it weren't for triathlon, I wouldn't be a personal trainer, written a book, you know, I wouldn't be a wellness coach, and I definitely would not have this show here. But I tell you one thing, I wish I had this book when I first started out because I knew nothing about triathlon, and I had to learn by trial and error, which was quite interesting to say the least. But our two guests have collaborated with other writers to write this excellent book, and it's titled The Beginner's Guide for Triathletes. And they are Dr. Takima Dorsey and Jeremy Gordon. Now, I am really, really excited to hear their stories because they are very active in the community, too. And let me just tell you a little about Jeremy. Jeremy is also an author, of course, and a triathlete, but he's an attorney. He's based in Mansfield, Texas, and is the principal attorney at the law office of Jeremy Gordon. And his website is gordondefense.com. So, Jeremy, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Jeremy, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you made it.
Thanks, me too.
All right, perfect. Now, our next guest, I like to call her my tri-sister. Maybe I should call her my tri-doctor sister. And Dr. Dorsey is doing big things as well. And she does so much, I just can't keep up with her, to be honest with you. She's the president of the IABT, which is the International Association of Black Triathletes. And she's extremely active in the city of Baltimore. And she's an accomplished businesswoman. She's the CEO of Creative Group LLC. She's the founder of Dr. Takiema Dorsey Institute to Transform Leaders. She's a commissioner of a co-ed Christian softball league. Now, check this out. She is a seven-time recipient of the Baltimore Small Business Consulting Award. I mean, Jordan only got six, and he's considered the greatest, and she has seven. Think about that. Dr. Dorsey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for having us and doing this episode for the world to know what we're doing and what you continue to doing to bless the community. So thank you so very much.
Oh, yeah. It's my pleasure. I want to thank you guys right off the bat for taking time out of your schedules to come on my show to just tell the world about what you're doing. And I know for a fact that you can inspire a lot of people. Now, before we get started, I just want to give out the call-in number, and that is 267-521-0169. Again, 267-521-0169. We are live, and we will take some calls. So I could talk for an hour about listing all you guys' accomplishments, but I think it's time for me to stop talking, and it's your turn to talk. So inquiring minds want to know you guys. First off, what got you into triathlon?
Well, for me, triathlons was just another bucket item list. I was actually, I can't even say that, I kind of did off a dare. I was actually in the midst of duathlons that season. And, you know, I had did my first season of duathlons, sprint, national, you know, then I did half iron, you know, which I was scared to death. And so I finished the half iron duathlon, came in first place, and then I had already heard about triathlons before that, and I was like, oh, a duathlon is only taking away the first run and adding a swim? Oh, shoot, I could do that, even though I didn't have any idea in how to swim. So I took the success from the first half iron duathlon, which was supposed to have been a 70.3, and ended up being an extra seven. It was a total of 73.3. And my first triathlon that I signed up for was in open water. And I, again, didn't know how to swim and was considered one of the hardest half iron series, which is Ironman Eagleman. And 2 months later, you know, on December 5th, 2014, I hired a coach, had him for about a week, and the rest is history.
That's amazing. And see, that drive and dedication, you know, you're the type of person who just would not give up. That's very inspiring. See, a lot of people would give up because, you know, they think it's so daunting, but you look forward to the challenges.
Yeah. And you know what, Jeffrey, you're absolutely correct. You know, anything in life is about mental toughness. And, you know, even though I knew that swimming was my weak area, it became my priority. But I believe that with time management and balance and structure, that anything you put your mind to is possible. You know, one of my favorite biblical scriptures is all things are possible if you believe. And so, you know, I was in the water 5 and 6 days a week, you know, 7 days when needed. And, you know, my biggest competitor and my greatest advocate was myself. So it wasn't
That's
about
right.
what anyone else said. You know, it was all about me proving to myself, because my greatest weakness is fear. But it's not fear from failure from me not doing it. It's fear from failure of me not putting in the work for me to have a positive outcome. I believe that process outweighs the outcome. And so I knew that if I put the work in, that I was going to make it. So to me, it was a no-brainer.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. Jeremy, I know you have something similar too, don't you?
It's somewhat similar. All right. So when I was going to law school, law school was 2 years of basically sitting and eating and reading. And I did that. And when I finished, I was not in very good shape. I was in the shape that you would be after 3 years of sitting and reading and eating. So while I was waiting on my results, I started to run. But I realized that something was wrong because I didn't know about orthotics and I was overpronating. My foot was hitting the ground the wrong way and I had pain in my knees. So I went to the lifeguards at the gym and I said, if I can run 3 miles, then how far should I be able to swim? And the lifeguard said, you won't be able to make it one lap. So I tried and I could not make it one lap. I could not make it one length. It was that bad. Like the lifeguard was like, it looks like you're fighting the water and the water is winning. I was like, okay, that's really bad. So the lifeguards took it upon themselves to coach me and to show me the right strokes and to show me how to swim. They used flippers and fins and paddles for me so I could get it down. And once I was able to get it down, they recommended that I do a triathlon. I went and I rented a bike the day before the race that I had never used. I showed up for late registration and got in to the triathlon. I had no idea about hydration or about the right shoes to wear or even the right outfit. I basically wore a pair of basketball shorts or something and I did it. And it wasn't pretty. I did not go very fast. I think I was one of the last few people to finish. Like, I think they were like picking the cones up as I was finishing the race, but I did it. And, that was back in 2010. I kept doing it. I got more information. I came to Dallas. I signed up with Team and Training to raise money and get more training. And that was, and now I'm here.
And you're not stopping either, are you?
No, it's been great. You know, I've been able to train or work with or provide support to friends of mine. I've been able to help my friends get in the water. I actually, like, my girlfriend was afraid to get in the water, and I was able to talk to her and help her out. She actually finished the triathlon just a few weeks ago, and she even finished faster than I did. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, competition in the household, I see.
A little bit. She posted on her Instagram yesterday, beat Gordon. She took a selfie of herself. Yeah, I know. So I hop to it. I better get with it.
Hey, people out there listening, if you go online to the blog site, you can see pictures of all three of us. You can see pictures of Dr. Dorsey and her 5,000 medals that she has draped across her body. You can see Jeremy riding a bike, and you can see me holding my son after a race. So you can see who you're talking to. You know, guys, one thing that I learned is once you cross that finish line, it's like your life has changed after that first race. It's not the same, and you're just addicted to the sport. What do you think? Hello, did I lose anyone? Hello?
I'm still here. I completely agree. I completely agree. Once you start, once you finish your first one, then I'm always looking for the next one. And usually by the time that I finish one race, I've got my next race in mind. Or I'm planning, I'm looking at my calendar and I'm looking at my paycheck. Like, you know, if I can clear this check, you know, then I can do another race. Or I'm always looking for my next race.
Yeah, me too. Doctor, how about you?
You know, I would agree. I would equate this, the excitement that you're referring to my first marathon back in like 1997. And, you know, you're kind of going through the training and you're asking yourself, you know, you're excited in the beginning. And then, you know, halfway through, you're like, what am I thinking about? And the self-doubt kicks in, you know, and then you're constantly like, what the crap? And then, you know, like, going to your event, you're like, I'm not ever doing this again. Like, this is some crap. This is some bull. I want it to be over with. And as soon as you cross the finish line, you're on such a high because what you realize is that you're now part of the 1% of the world. And the 1%ers, you know, everyone starts out to want to do something for all the various reasons. but not everyone makes it. So when you make it, you know, whether you crawl, whether you, you know, you walk, whether you sprint across the finish line, you now can put yourself in a category, and no one else can take it away from you. Because the great thing about triathlons and the great things about marathons and the great things about cycling, everyone's medal is the same. It's that finisher. So mm-hmm. you just have that high that could never be taken from you, and now you believe in yourself. Now you understand that anything you put your mind to, you can do it. And so, you know, while you were cussing yourself out doing, you know, the actual training and do the actual event, you know, within 24 hours, you're now ready to sign up for the next one because you now have a greater appreciation for what you can do, not what someone told you you can do, but what you actually achieved. And you're like, okay, now what's next, you know? So it's indescribable. It's like being on cloud nine and you know, there's no other way to look at it other than you're being great. So I would agree.
I totally agree. Yes, exactly. And one thing that I learned is I can apply what I learned in triathlon to other aspects of my life. You know, I feel mm-hmm. as though training for the triathlon and actually doing the races is just like life. It does not go as planned. It can be extremely difficult and frustrating. But if you keep going, if you do not stop, you may slow down. But if you don't stop and just keep moving forward, you will get where you need to go, and you will accomplish your goal. And I use that towards life.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, let's talk. You know, we have two callers on hold. Callers, I see you. We're going to get to you in just a second. But I just want to ask you guys about the book. And like I said before, I started this sport 20 years ago. It was totally green, and I knew nothing, and I was eating pretzels on my bike and thinking I was doing something, and looking back, I'm like, I don't know how I survived, and I think if I would have had your book, I think I would have been a whole lot better than I was, and maybe even better now. So let's talk about this book a little bit.
Shoot, where we start? Well, you know, the one thing I just wanted to add on to what you said before, when you said there's so many things about triathlon that you equate to the world, you know, to your daily life. And it's so true, because the thing about it is that whether it's, you know, advancement at work, whether it's, you know, building a relationship, whether it's, you know, looking for, you know, to start something else, the more that you are saying what you can achieve and you're setting goals and, you know, you have small milestones and then you draw the people around you that's going to be there to support you, then you begin to have a different mindset. And when you have that different mindset, then you start going through a period of elevation. And then with that elevation become new heights. And that's the beauty of triathlons as it relates to the workforce, as it relates to the family, as it relates to personal growth and development, as it relates to one's spiritual connection. And that's part of the essence that we've been able to capture in that book, because IABT's mission and vision is to educate and increase participation for all individuals, but especially African-Americans in the sport. You know, mm-hmm. African-Americans only encompass 0.5% of thousands of triathletes in the world. And so even though we know that number is not as accurate now as it was back in 92, you know, all individuals on all levels, regardless of race and ethnicity, have the same struggles in life. But we know as a people and as individuals, you know, opportunities for African-Americans don't come as easy as those of our counterparts. And that's not being racist. That's not saying that we can't, you know, that we aren't afforded something. But when we're looking at inner city students and urban communities, you know, swimming isn't something that we grew up with a swimming pool in our backyard. You know, we're not growing up with bicycles, you know, just laying around waiting for us to jump on one. So the whole premise of the book is of IABT's mission and vision, which is to educate one and then increase participation. But before we can increase participation, we have to be able to educate people on the nuances of the sport. Unlike marathons, which is a one discipline, or cycling, which is one discipline, you're talking about triathlons, which is really five disciplines. It's swimming, it's cycling, it's running, then it's nutrition and hydration, and it's strength and conditioning. So we're hoping that the content of the book will educate people to say, hey, you can do this, regardless of what socioeconomic background you come from, regardless of what geographic location you're from, regardless of what your, you know, what your history tells you, you can become a triathlete, and here's how. And then once you educate yourself on it, then that's when we're able to increase participation. So we had a host of wonderful African-American authors that are all credentialed in their respective areas that they've written about. And the beauty of it is that, you know, when you're talking about hair care for African for people, you know, unfortunately, you know, Paul Mitchell can't really talk about a person from an Afro standpoint because he isn't a woman for one and he don't have an Afro puff. But, you know, there are angles, mm-hmm. you know, there are different angles from which this book speaks to African Americans as well as all triathletes that we really just want everyone to understand it. They can do it. But again, the thing about it is that, as you mentioned, and then I'll be trying to let Jeremy speak regardless, is that triathlons is more than just a sport. It's a part of living. It's a way of life. It's a lot of professional athletes and even some of the athletes, triathletes that are mentioned in a book are doctors and lawyers and police officers and educators and, you know, wellness coaches and lawyers. And, you know, so regardless of what your title is in life, you can be and you will be and you can accomplish and become a triathlete. So that's the whole premise. We just want to educate people and we want to increase participation regardless of any ethnicity, but especially African Americans. Jeremy?
Yeah, I completely agree. I remember when I signed up for my first triathlon, I had none of the information that was in this book.
Mm-hmm.
I had zero iotas of information about what a triathlon even was or how to do it. I think I might have Googled something like how to triathlon or something. So the idea of – I mean, I'm fortunate to be in Dallas where I have triathlon groups and where I have the ability to train with other people, but if you're in a situation that is different, if you live in a place where there's not as much access to triathlon groups or access to training facilities or access to a triathlon store or even a coach, or even if your financial situation is different, then you can complete a triathlon and you can use this book to help you. I mean, I've seen on the triathlon field, we've all seen mountain bikes. Mm-hmm. I've seen a cruiser bike, you know, and we've seen people with all different kinds of ridiculousness on in their swim and in their run. Everyone can complete a triathlon, and you can use this
yep.
book in order to help you cross that finish line.
That sounds excellent. And you know what? What I love about this sport is we all support each other. Like you said, I've seen mountain bikes. My first race was on a mountain bike, and no one looked at me funny. It was bought from Walmart, as a matter of fact. No one looked at me funny. They all cheered me on. You know, I've seen people doing all types of strokes in the swim. You know, I see people walking. But all that matters is that you're out there and you're doing it. And, you know, and I really love that about the sport. And it sounds like this book is absolutely fantastic, and it has a lot of good information in here.
You know what, and if I could add, Jesse, you're absolutely correct. You know, you have, you know, just like in every day part of life, you have various levels. You have your high end, you have your average, and you have your beginner's level. And the problem in the sport of triathlons, like marathons and cycling, is that everyone wants to jump in a high end. But it's like you're jumping in deep water and you don't even know how to paddle. So instead of jumping into the deep end of something and not knowing really what you're getting into, it's okay to start out with a Walmart bike. It's okay to start out with, you know, a $5 thrift store bathing suit, you know, and dollar
mm-hmm.
store goggles. Because the thing about it is that before you can get into a sport, you have to understand what you're coming to the table with. And what you're coming to the table with has nothing to do with equipment. It has to do with what dwells inside of you, your confidence level, your discipline level, your determination, you know, your dedication to self. And then the one thing about it, or two things about it, is why you're doing it, you know, what is your passion to start, and then what is the purpose? You know, there's this thing in the running world about drinking Kool-Aid, you know, and people are always jumping into marathons and 5Ks and sprints because they're drinking Kool-Aid, and then when they end up DNFing, which is do not finish, or DNS, which is do not start, or DQ, which is disqualification, then they want to blame everything and everyone. But the problem is their greatest advocate and their worst enemy lies within their mirror reflection, is which is
absolutely
who they are. Why jump in on the, you know, the master level when you know you're a novice? So the whole purpose of this book is to educate people on what you should do or what you could do or maybe things that you haven't thought about, because triathlons, like marathons and like cycling, can be a very expensive sport, but it doesn't have to be. Because the more
mm-hmm.
you educate yourself on the nuances and the basics of it, then people could just be happy because the fact that you got up off the couch and say, hey,
yeah,
I'm going to the gym today, and I'm going to go get in the water. And, you know, not just the water, I'm going to go get on a stationary bike that's in the cycling room, that's which is a part of your gym membership. And instead of going outside, you know, finding a running group, going on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we're hoping that, you know, just the basic nuances of how to get started and how to jumpstart and not go broke trying to get into the sport, whether it's triathlons or running or cycling or swimming, or even selecting a coach, you know, or nutrition
mm-hmm.
or hydration. We're hoping that this is going to help educate everyone.
Excellent, excellent. I want to just say one point, and I'm going to bring on a caller. You're a doctor. Jeremy, you're a lawyer. You did not start out as a doctor. You didn't start out as a lawyer. You started at the very beginning, at the bare basics. You had to learn the ropes. You had to go to school. You had to study. It took years to get where you are now. A lot of hard work and dedication. And that same philosophy applies to triathlon. You can't just jump in and be a pro. You have to learn the bare basics, just like Jeremy did, you know, and I had to do it too. So people need to remember to just be patient and take your time, and you will get where you want to be. And I think you can definitely do that with a lot of principles in this book. So that said, let me bring on a caller, okay? Let's see what we have here. All right. Caller, are you there? Caller, can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me? Okay, I don't hear the caller. I'm going to put them back on hold. See, I have another call online here.
Hello?
Caller, you're on air.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you just fine. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. Hey, my name is Darren Davis from Chicago, Illinois, also known as That Man D from the LaVisa's Corner show. And, you know, I'm listening to this, and, man, this is pretty interesting stuff. You know, I never really thought about being a triathlete. You know, I do a little bit of everything. I do biking, you know, on the Chicago lakefront. I try to do 8Ks and 5K runs and things. And I never really thought about doing this. But one question that I have is that, and something that a lot of people deal with in every avenue of life, since you guys are the triathletes, what has been the closest point to you quitting? And at that point, what did you do to be able to pull yourself out and push yourself forward to succeed? You know, because even your guest, I didn't catch your name, but you're the attorney. I'm sure there were moments where you probably said, I can't do this. And then you pulled yourself through and said, you know, I'm going to do this. But even as a triathlete, what was the lowest point where you said, what am I doing? I need to just give this up. And how did you get out of it?
Jeremy, you want to answer that one?
I can answer that. I have a thing. So I was training for my first open water race, and I was swimming in a manner that was expending too much energy. And I got to my open water race, or this was like a warm-up race, a race that was about 8 weeks before my actual triathlon. And I get in the water, and I'm swimming, and it's expending too much energy. And I get, it's 300 meters, I get to about 275, and I can't go anymore. and they actually didn't have any water, so the speedboat had to come pick me up. And they picked me up. They pulled me out of the lake. I almost went under. And the speedboat came and got me, and I had to get on the boat. So then that's a did not finish, a DNF. And I really had to wonder. I had my open water triathlon coming up in a few weeks, and I really was wondering, am I going to make it? Am I going to be able to do this race? Should I just drop out now and just get on down the road? And what I ended up doing was, how I pulled myself out of it, was to just, first off, to focus on what my desire was. My desire was to be, so it was to finish an open water triathlon. But then second off, to do what it took in order to get there. Like, I scheduled some extra sessions with my coach. I went to the lake with my coach, and I did more research on open water swimming. I took up more, there were more opportunities to do open water swimming with other groups in my area. So I researched those groups, and I found out when they swam, and I swam with them. And I just practiced and practiced and practiced. So what it did for me was I tapped into my desire. The way that I made it through that place where I wanted to quit was I tapped into my desire, and then I did the steps in order to be the person that could complete that desire or could achieve that desire.
Very cool. Very cool.
That's awesome.
I like
that's
to
awesome.
Hear that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Hey, doctor, do you have a story like that? What keeps you motivated? What makes you keep going?
What keeps me going is fear. I think I had mentioned this. You know,
mm-hmm.
someone had termed the fear acronym as I forgot that quickly. But it's kind of fear of the unknown. For me, I believe that everything in life is about the process. And the outcome is success. And so I fear that if I don't put in the work, that my outcome is not going to be the way I want, and then I will be beating myself up. And so, you know, as I was training for my first triathlon, which was an open water half Ironman, and I didn't know how to swim, you know, there were times, like the caller had asked, that I was questioning myself about it. And, you know, when I did months and months of pool swimming, and I actually had to go into open water. Pool swimming versus open water are two different animals. But the thing that I had to quickly learn is that the same skill set that you have in the water, in a pool, is transferable into open water. So, you know, when I got into open water and I started panicking, I had to remember that I did know how to swim, I did know how to float. And even though I wanted to quit, you know, when I was actually in the swim part of Eagleman, I had to think about all of the months of training and all of the times I put in, all of the sacrifice my family went through, and all of the people that I knew was there with me on, in mind, body, and spirit, all of the encouragement that I had along. And, you know, this was something that I wanted to do for myself because I knew that I could. And as an underdog in life, from elementary to middle to high school, and people telling me what I couldn't do, then I had to prove to myself I could do it. So it was more of an internal thing for me for wanting to get to A to B, you know, and even if I didn't finish it, I knew that I put the work in. You know, there are some things I can control and there are some things I can't. What I could control was my training. What I couldn't control was the environment and the culture of doing the actual event. But when I showed up on that day, you know, in June of 2014, I knew that I had put in 6.5 long months of grueling and sacrifice of training. And if I didn't have anything else to go on, I knew I had that to go on. And that was enough. Once I got out the water, I was just happy. So for me, it was fear of failure within myself.
And you know that phrase, false evidence appearing real. That's what it is.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
False evidence appearing real. Thank you.
Darren, thank you so much for calling. Good luck on your show. And everyone, it's called Lovisa's Corner. And Darren Davis is a co-host. Check them out later tonight. Thanks, Darren. Have a good night, bro.
Hey, thanks. I'm going to keep listening. This is some good stuff, man. I may have to call you and finish getting myself in shape.
Okay, B. All right, talk to you later. Have a good one.
Okay.
Guys, I'm having a really good time tonight. I'm loving your thoughts and your concepts. And let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on diet and food? That is really important, and I'm sure you talk about that in the book too, don't you?
We do. I'll let Jeremy go, and then I can piggyback off him.
Okay.
I mean, for me, I am just continually amazed at what the effects are of diet and food on the body, and in preparation for a triathlon, in recovery from your training, and in all aspects of the triathlon lifestyle. You know, I tell people that come to me about wanting to do their first triathlon, I say, look, you know, the body can, you can always out-eat your workout plan. If you're getting in a triathlon in order to lose weight, then you have to be careful and you have to look at what the better choice is when you are trying to decide what to eat, because you can always out-eat whatever workout plan you do have. So that's part of the reason why my girlfriend beat me in that triathlon, because she actually eats a lot better than me. So, I mean, let's just keep it real. Like, I think that the night before, I was eating ice cream and she was eating, like fish or chicken or something. And I said, hey, do you want some ice cream? And she said, no. So it's just, it manifests itself. It manifests itself in the craziest of ways.
You know what I tell people, and I use this analogy all the time. If you have a Lamborghini, you are not going to pull up at a Walmart or Sam's Club and put 89 cheap gas in. You're not. Can you imagine what would happen if they put cheap gas into the space shuttle? They don't do that. They use rocket fuel. Our bodies are fine-tuned machines, and we must treat them as such. You know, we have to eat healthy to make sure it runs at its optimum level. Now, I can't lie. I cannot lie. I do eat my junk food from time to time, but I cannot eat it every day because I know if I do, my performance will suffer. So what do you think about that?
I think that, you know, I wanted to just go back because the thing about it is that you ask the question, what do we think about diet? And in hindsight, mm-hmm. Jeffrey, everyone in the world is on a diet. And diet is not necessarily for weight loss. It's not necessarily for performance. The diet is because you're eating what you eat, even if you're twins. So what works for your body is not going to work for my body. What fuels you is not going to fuel me. What motivates you is not going to motivate me. The way I burn off stuff, the way you're not going to burn off. So the key to any healthy eating, whether it's for an activity or just an individual, is to learn what works for your body, whether you
Excellent.
Are pear shaped or whether you carry your weight in your hips or whether you carry it in your upper body. The thing about it is that people should look at healthy eating or just the way that they eat based off of based on longevity of life. You know, do you want to be around for your grandkids and the great-grandkids and the fathers walking their daughters down the aisle? And so, and especially you want to take into consideration the history of the family, diabetes and strokes and heart attacks and aneurysms. And based off of that alone, people should know or begin to learn what works for them versus what works against them. So before you can even begin to start thinking about nutrition and hydration from an athletic standpoint, people need to start thinking about nutrition from an individual standpoint. Because regardless of the activity, we were all born an individual and we'll all die an individual. So as an individual, if you know that you're eating a whole lot of bread and it's causing your midsection to back up, or you're eating a whole lot of rice and it's causing you to bloat, or you're, you know, having a problem with drinking dairy, then obviously those things aren't going to work. If you know that your body works or reacts best to fruits and vegetables, so as an individual, how do you fuel your body to just operate 18 out of the 24 hours in a day? And that's where people fall short. So before people even start thinking of how to fuel the body for performance, how do you fuel the body for daily lifting? You know, how do you get, you know, reduce the excess fat around the stomach, which is, in hindsight, going to have that lead to risk of heart attacks and strokes and all of that, or the fact that you can't, you know, walk up the steps because your the blood flow in your veins is not flowing away the way it needs to, and you're not pooping every day, or you're dehydrated. So when people think in terms of fueling the body, they should kind of look at, again, what is their metamorphosis body type, and what does that say about how your metabolism operates? And then once people are able to even understand what that looks like before you get into carbs versus fat versus protein, then it gives you an idea of when, you know, of what works for you now versus what will work for you when you actually engage in activity. So the key to it, again, is just people understanding how to fuel the body as an individual. And then, again, taking into context the history, you know, with your passion and purposes, and then how do you put that all together? So hopefully that helps, even from a non-athletic standpoint.
Oh, man, you know, you said a huge mouthful, and I really hope people heard that. And the thing about it, though, what you said is it contradicts what you see in the media, because the media will it's like a cookie-cutter type philosophy. They tell everyone they should eat this and not eat that, but not everyone can eat certain foods. And everyone's body, like you said, will react differently to certain things. And the key is to know what works for you. Who cares what your neighbor can eat or they cannot eat? You're not your neighbor. You have to find out what works for your body to help you become as healthy as you can be, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Absolutely. And if I could just add something as it now relates to triathletes, the same thing applies when you're training. You know, I remember training for my half and my full iron where I was eating solid foods on the bike. Other people were only digesting liquid. When I did my Ironman back in 2014, I didn't go to the bathroom the entire only went to the bathroom once. An entire 16 hours, 36 minutes, and 36 seconds I was on the course. One time. Now, what is that saying? That meant that my digestive system was completely off. When I went to lay down after my Ironman, I was so scared, because my stomach was bubbling. I could feel it going up into my heart, and I was afraid to go to sleep. When I woke up the next day, I mean, I really was up in the middle of the night having to go to the bathroom because my body, my digestive system wasn't working. And someone said, luckily, I was drinking enough fluid that it was passing through because I could have died. My food could have caused me to have a heart attack or stroke because I did not move. So that taught me to, you know, to not go. And even though I was experimenting because I didn't know, you know,
right.
I'm learning. So,
right.
Again, it goes back into knowing, you know, from an athlete standpoint, are you a liquid person? Are you a solid food? Are you liquid and solid? And then that's just the nutrition part. That's not even the hydration part. You know,
exactly.
Are you drinking enough fluids when you're on a bike? Are you sipping every 15 minutes? That kind of thing. And that's why this book is created, because what we're talking about here is more on an intermediate and advanced level. But novices that's coming into the sport need to just know the basic stuff, that can get you off the couch and you wanting to go back from day one to day two and day two to day three, instead of looking at day one saying, the hell with this, I'm done. Because, again, like you mentioned earlier in the conversation, training for a triathlon or just training as an athlete from a swimming, bike, and running standpoint has more rewards than a medal. I mean, but that's a whole other discussion, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, we got a call. Let's see if I can get this caller back, okay? Let's see if we can catch this person.
Okay.
Caller, are you on? Can you hear us? Caller, are you there? Caller. Someone's playing the bongos. Okay, we can't hear them. So let's continue on. Okay, one thing that I've learned since being in the sport is there are a lot of triathlete groups out there. One of the first ones that I was involved in is the TriMasters, and that's with it's in Chicago with Bernard Lyle, and he's like a triathlon legend. He's one of the first African Americans I saw in the sport, and I hope he's listening tonight. What's up, Bernard? And you know, there are many triathlon groups across the country and hundreds around the world. So let me ask you, what is the mission or the goal of the International Association of Black Triathletes?
Well, the mission and vision of IABT, as mentioned earlier, is to educate and increase participation of individuals in the sport of triathlons, especially African Americans. Because African Americans right now only comp and support international statistics, only 0.5% of the population in the sport itself. And we want to help change that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Sounds good. And we do. I mean, it's a great sport for everyone to get involved in. So, and I have to agree with you because I don't see many people of color out there. And quite frankly, most people think I'm crazy for doing it. But if they really understood how it can really help you, you know, mentally as well, how you really get to learn yourself and discover things about yourself that you never existed, you know, they really may want to give it a try. But
right.
One thing I do want to know about you guys, both of you, is when do you have time to train? I get that question a lot, and it takes a lot to do it. It takes a lot of, you know, effort and dedication. So, you know, Jeremy, what do you think? How do you find the time to train? How do you prioritize?
Well, what I do is I try to set a time every day when I'm going to give myself between 45 minutes to an hour. And then a couple of hours on the weekends. My girlfriend wants for me to start training in the morning because you feel better during the day. You've already got it handled. Your metabolism keeps going throughout the day. I have a hard time waking up. So we're working on me getting up a little bit earlier each morning and heading out to do my workout. But right now I do most of my workouts at night, usually between about 10 and 11, sometimes a little bit later. And then I work on systems when I travel. I take workout clothes with me. Like, for instance, we went to Hawaii, my girlfriend and I, a couple of weeks ago, and we made sure to run almost every day. We had our workout clothes with us. We packed them in our suitcases. There's a picture on my Instagram of us using something in our hotel room to put our clothes on top of so they would dry out. We just made it a priority. We made it a priority to run almost every day. So first, to me, it starts with the mindset. It starts with just the mindset of saying, this is what I want to do, and then looking at your schedule in order to figure out when you can fit it in.
That makes sense. I know with me, I'm not a morning person either because I'm a night person, but I force myself to go to bed early so I can get up and get it out the way. Especially living in Florida, it's hot down here, and it's not easy to train to run when it's 90 degrees outside in Florida. It is not easy. So I force myself to get up and do it earlier. And you know what I learned? It is a lifestyle. I always tell myself when I'm training, and I maintain the pace for months. Okay. You know, that's what people have to do. Look at it, their life as well. You know, it should not really totally overrun your life because you still have some type of balance where you can still do other things also. But, you know, it does take a lot of time, but if you juggle it, you can make it work. Doctor, what do you think? Doctor, are you there?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. And I would agree. You know, I'm not a night person. You know, my family goes to bed at 8:30. You know, we're up at the crack of dawn. You know, I'm up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I believe, you know, in terms of trying to get it in, you know, I'm a mom of four and all my kids are active. You know, time management and balance and structure matters a lot. You know, at one point I was training a lot, you know, because I had my own individual goals and I kind of intertwined it with family. And so I'm more so coaching now as I am, you know, as opposed to me doing events. I've done, you know, what I wanted to do in terms of Ironman and all of that. So my training has kind of taken a back burner, you know. But I do believe, as you guys identified, as long as you know what time of the day works best for you and how you can get it in, then anything you put your mind to, all things are possible. You know, the one thing that we hear a lot from a female standpoint is that women are always trying to find a way of how to balance work and lifestyle and themselves. And it's just like anything else, Jeff, you know, and Jeremy, you know, if it's something you want, you find a way to get it done if you really want it. And it goes back to that passion and that purpose. And, you know, there are women of, you know, corporate, there are stay-at-home moms, there are, you know, men that are also moms. You know, it's truly no excuse why people can't get something done if it's truly what they want. Then if they can get it done, I'll be the first one to say that maybe that's not where your heart is. You know, maybe it's just something that you're saying that you want to do, but you really aren't accountable to yourself to do it. So, you know, just like you guys said, you know, you live in a very hot state. Jeremy lives in a very hot state. I live in a state where so it doesn't know what it's doing from day to day with weather. But, you know, it all depends on what you want. And if you want it, you'll find a way to make it work. So,
absolutely, absolutely. We got one more caller, guys. Let me see if I can catch this caller. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you here? Hello, caller. We got ghost callers tonight. We got phantom callers. Okay. Guys, we are almost out of time, and I just cannot believe this hour went so quick. I'm sad. I'm really disappointed. But, okay, guys, I want to know, how can people reach you? Tell us Jeremy, how can people reach you? You're an attorney. People may want to, you know, get some advice from you. You may get some clients. People may ask about, you know, training. I'm busy. Tell us about yourself.
They can call my office at 972-483-4865. They can reach us online at www.gordondefense.com. I am on Facebook as Jeremy Gordon. That's my full name. I'm on Twitter, but I never use it. But if you leave me a message at JeremyG36, JEREMYG 3 and the number 6, then I might get to it sometime, maybe. I'm on Instagram at the same handle, and I check that a lot more. So plenty of ways to get a hold of me.
Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. Doctor, how can we reach you? Is you as busy as you are?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. I would love for them to actually not necessarily reach out to me, but I would love for them to explore IEBT. The website is www.theiasinapplebeasinbravotiasintom.com. You can also email us at iabttriathletes@gmail.com. If you do need to reach one of us, I can be reached at 443-226-3841. At this point, I'm not taking on new clients, but, you know, I have clients that will be competing in the National Duathlon Championship in Bend, Oregon next month, headed to the Youth Junior Triathlon National Championships in Whitechester, Ohio in July, and I'm having a few clients that are actually training right now for age group triathlon, again, back in Oregon. But I would encourage anyone that's out there who has, you know, belief in themselves or want to find a way to increase their self-esteem, pick up a copy of our book. You know, you don't even have to be a fan of IBT or triathlons, but if you're interested in learning about single sports or swimming, cycling, or running, you know, nutrition, hydration, transition, which is a very detailed section that, you know, Jeremy wrote about, which I love. He was so meticulous about it, and, you know, transitions could also make or break a triathlon, or even hair care for women, men, or youth. The thing about it is that triathlons is such a universal sport that it speaks to all levels, and we're just hoping that this book and this broadcast and You know, definitely thank you very much. You know, we can help you in any way. You know, you don't have to be a member of IABT. If we can just help save some money and increase your knowledge, then we've done our job.
And how can they purchase the book? Again,
right now the book is exclusively being sold on IABT's website. So if you go to www.theibt.org, pick up a copy or two, you can purchase it and we'll get it out to you. And it is a fundraiser for our Youth Triathlon Club, which IABT launched the first NSC Triathlon Club here in Baltimore, Maryland. So we're headed to the championship. So your support of our fundraising initiative would help, you know, make their dreams come true.
Awesome, awesome. I think it's a great book. I really hope people pick it up. And it's a great way to help the cause. You know, you're in Baltimore, and we didn't really get to talk about this, but you are very active with the youth, and I think that is absolutely fantastic. We need more people out there to do that, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to have this show. I'm opening up to, you know, people out there who are doing really big things in the community and helping people out. So I just want to just commend you on air by saying I just really respect you for doing what you're doing with the youth out there, especially in Baltimore. And I just hope that you can keep on doing it. Just keep strong and keep busy levels high. And I'm hoping that you inspire someone else out there to be as great as you. And you too, Jeremy, because you're an attorney. And we need a lot more positive images of our people out there in the world instead of all the negativity.
Yes. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Go ahead, doctor.
And I'm actually at
three more minutes.
I'm actually at class practice right now with our youth group doing an interview in the field.
See, that's dedication right there, folks. This is the real deal, and this is what we need out there. We need people out there who are walking the walk and talking the talk. And I'm hoping that with this show, we can just get some of these nice people so a little exposure. Yeah. You know, let them tell their story so they can inspire others. Okay? So, again, I'm Jeff White. Yep. So, again, I'm Jeff White. This is Jeff White Fitness Solutions. I'm available for fitness consultations, writing or speaking engagements, and I'm always looking to help people with their fitness or motivational goals. So drop me a line. I'm happy to hear from you. I am on Facebook, Jeff White Fitness Solutions. I'm also on Twitter. What is my Twitter? JW Fitness Jeff. I'm on Instagram. I have my website, jeffwhitefitnesssolutions.com. And I also have on the radio show that I talked to about KYOO in Baltimore, Missouri. So everyone, we want to thank you for listening. Let us know what you think. And like I said before, I'm always looking for new people to talk to. So thank you, everyone. And you all have a blessed evening. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Yes, thank you. And we are available for more interviews, by the way. Okay, sorry.
Oh, you know what? Actually, that's not a bad idea because you have a lot going on, and we talked about, you know, we just touched the surface. So there's a good chance that we will, you know, talk about some more things, especially about the motivational part to keep people inspired to keep going. So, hey, never say never because I love talking about things like this. So let's keep that in mind.
Yes, thank you. Woo. Sorry.
That was fun, guys. No, that was good. That was a great show. I'm so glad we did it. And you guys have a great evening. And we will definitely be doing this again. That's a promise.
Yes, Jeff. So appreciate you. Words cannot describe how awesome you are.
My tri-sister, so I appreciate that. Jeremy, good luck to you. Thank you so much. And we definitely have to do this again.
Yes,
absolutely.
And,
you bet.
And can you inbox me your number, your address, so I can send you a copy of the book?
Oh, I'm in the book too, aren't I? Just a little teeny tiny bit. Just a little bit.
Huh?
I think I'm in the book just a little bit, right? Just a little teeny tiny bit. I got just like a little paragraph or something in the book too.
Yes, you know you in the book. I just say one thing. Oh, I didn't tell you that yet. Okay, my bad.
I had to put that out there. I will definitely do that.
You.
Okay, guys, we're about to go off the air. God bless everyone. I love you and stay safe.
All right, thank you. Have a great evening.
Yes, thank you.
Bye. Okay.
Bye, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Doctor.
Bye.
Woo! That was great, guys. Oh, my God. That was fantastic. That was excellent. That was excellent. Oh, my God. That was fun. That was so much fun. That was great. Oh, my God. That was so much fun. Oh, man. That was fucking shit. Oh, my God. Man, that was fun. Oh, my God. That was fun. That was fun. Oh, my God. That was great. That was fucking great. God, that was great. Oh my God, that was fantastic. Fun. Holy shit, that was great. That was a great show. You guys are great interviews. That was fun. Man, that was fun. That was so much fun. We have some lists. I promise you that. That was dope. Yeah. That was fun. That really was. That was fucking awesome. I ain't gonna lie, man. That was fucking great. That was fucking great. That was that was great. That was fucking awesome. Good though. Thanks, D. Well, we had callers, so.
I don't think Talon's anyone is.
That was awesome. Major fucking shout outs. No, I had the radio show tonight. It went really good. It went really, really good. So, it went very well. We had a couple live calls. So, it went good. So, yeah, just go. Come on, Margo.
Are you sure? Because I'm passing by that way. I want you to say that. Wait.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'll get it.
Okay, I'll let this go. Bye.
Okay.
All right. All right. Bye. On the path.
I like her voice.
It really was.
That was dope.